We're talking about living free. This week, we're talking about the activation of grace from Galatians chapter 3. This is probably one of the most important messages in this section in our study on grace. I think anyone who's here this morning is here because you want something more from God in your life. How many of you want to tap into more of the power of God in your life? And how many of you have been also, conversely, discouraged sometimes because you've heard steps on how to do that, and you've tried it, and the steps didn't work the way the guy who was sharing them told you they'd work? Does anyone have that experience? And so then you struggled with your faith, right? Or someone helped you struggle with your faith and saying, well, you know, it's because you don't have enough faith, or it's because you didn't do this, you skipped a step, or you didn't do this. And all these steps, well, we're trying to get free from all those kind of things. We're trying to learn the power of grace, because the power of grace will set you free. And so I want to read verses 1 to 10 from Galatians chapter 3. Listen to the text, and then we're going to dig into it. 1 through 14. Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore now know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Lord, this text is so powerful, and I just want to be a good steward of your word this morning. So would you watch over your word? Would you watch over the preparation? Would you allow those things that you want to come forth to come forth? And any illustration or point that I planned on making that is not for this moment in time, let me forget it. Let it fall to the ground. And let your word come forth. I just submit myself now to you, Lord, and pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about living free, and by way of introduction, I want to just make this point that living free is a cross-centered life. Paul goes and he says to them, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, the word foolish in the Greek means to have no understanding, to be unintelligible. He says, you're walking without understanding. You're walking as unwise. Who has bewitched you? And the word bewitched has the connotation within it to be led astray by as if magic arts. Sherry, just one note. I have another video coming up, so if you dial it back up to zero. Great, thanks. And so it says to be led astray by pretense or by magic arts. I just want to note that Who is behind all deception and twisting of God's word? It's Satan. And it may be overtly occultic, or it may be as an angel of light. It's easy to identify the enemy when he's wearing a flaming red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, right? But when he comes as an angel of light, when he comes wrapped and packaged in Christian speak and in apparently perceiving Christian men and women, that's where deception comes in. Most deception comes through the subtlety of twisted teaching that leads us not to jump lanes, but to just take the wheel of our automobile and give it a 1 degree turn. And we drive for a long period of time not even realizing that we're moving into a pathway of deception until all of a sudden we end up in the rut. Have you ever gotten scared while you're driving? Cold sweat hits you because all of a sudden you almost run into something or you almost run off the road and you just took your eyes off of the road for a second, maybe to reach down to grab something or to change the radio station. You ever done that? And then you look up and you're almost in an accident and you break into that cold second, maybe to reach down to grab something. Tricked. You've been hoodwinked. You've been led into error. And now, since you've been led into error, you're no longer following the truth. You can only go due north if you're going due north. The minute you go 1 degree off of due north, you're not going due north anymore. That makes sense? You know, you're going northeast or northwest. But you can only go due north if your compass is perfectly affixed straight. Paul calls the Galatians to correction. Their departure from grace was a departure really from the truth. John 1:17 says, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So if we follow anything other than the gospel of grace, we are leaving the pathway of Jesus and our central focus, which is the cross of Christ. He said, "This is foolish because I preach Jesus to you. I preach the resurrection, the crucifixion, the completed work of Christ, and the resurrection. That's what I laid as a foundation for your life, and now you're leaving it for something else." That is pretty foolish. The gospel has both its beginning and ending with the completed work of Christ on the cross. That's validated by his resurrection. But grace led... I thought about this, and here's a thought I have. Grace led Jesus to the cross. Out of grace and out of love for us, he went to the cross willingly. Isn't that what the scripture says? He willingly laid down his lives, despising the shame and all of the suffering he was going to go through because he was looking for the joy that was set before him. And what is that joy? That's now that he can release grace to us through the completed work of the cross, and we can come into the fullness of his love and of his life and of his freedom. That's what he wants for us. He endured the cross. Grace led him to the cross so grace can flow from the completed work of the cross into our lives. Well, the question then is, how do we activate grace? How do we receive the power of God in our lives? I want to just look at verses 2 to 5 again. It says, he asks these questions, and let me just click on the first point. Grace is activated by hearing. And we know that's hearing by the Word of God, but I just want to focus, first of all, on this concept of hearing. Grace is activated by hearing. And here's Paul's important questions. It was hearing or works. He said this. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, in the book of the Acts, people believe God. Cornelius' house that Peter went to, these family members were listening to Peter preach, and as he preached, he didn't even have an altar call. He didn't lay hands on them. He did nothing. They were just hearing the Word of God, and when they heard the Word of God, They embraced it, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they spoke in other tongues. They received the same gift and manifestation of the Spirit that Peter did on the day of Pentecost, and he didn't do anything but preach the word. They received the Spirit through the hearing of faith. So he said, did you do anything to receive the Spirit, your salvation? No. We did nothing. We just heard and embraced it. We didn't work for it. Then he asked the question, did you receive miracles from God by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I thought about the story of the centurion's son. The centurion came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my son is sick. Will you heal him? And Jesus said, okay, I will. Let's go. Where do you live? And the centurion said, no, you don't even have to go. Just say the word and he will be healed. And Jesus said, go. Your faith is great. I haven't seen such great faith. He left. On his way back home, he met one of his servants, and his servant said, Master, your son lives. And that's good news. And he said, when did that happen? And we don't have the time, but let's just say it happened at 9 a.m. And he said, my gosh, to please God or reach a certain level of working his faith up or doing any mechanics, all he had to do was listen and believe. Hearing. Paul uses the same word, foolish. Again, he says in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Or we could write it this way, if you began your Christian life in the Spirit, how can you believe that you are now made perfect or enter into the fullness of God's power through your own human efforts? And yet, that's what we do. Books are written on how you can get God's glory, power, grace, and miracles in your life by steps and works that you must do. And when you do them and it doesn't work the way you thought it was going to work, then you feel guilty. And you'll have people helping you feel guilty. People are telling you the only reason you're not free or the only reason it didn't happen in such and such a way is because you didn't have enough faith. Anybody ever labored under that? Some of you are laboring under that right now because you have even loved ones who are telling you that. Now, I prayed for, and I believe, please understand this, miracle-working God and a healing God who sets you free. We have a God who's powerful. I'm not in any way diminishing the power of God, but I am standing against people putting God in a box and trying to create a method of works whereby you have to reach him to get what you need, and that brings you under the law. And when you're under the law, you're going to fall under condemnation and guilt, because if you come under the law to get God's grace and his provision for you, anything that you try to do to please him or to be worthy of him, then you're going to fail, and you're going to be magnified in your failure, and you're going to be ready to throw in the towel because you're going to get discouraged. Now, let's keep going. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 2. He says, for indeed the gospel of grace preached. Well, I jumped down. I want to make this next point. Faith comes by hearing the gospel of grace. And let me just read this scripture. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you remember the parable of the sower? If you read the parable of the sower in the gospel of Mark, you're going to read about hearing. It's all about hearing. Let me just give you some highlights. Mark 4:15. When they hear, talking about the word of God, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. Mark 4:16 to 17. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. Mark 4:18 to 19. Who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering choke out the word. Mark 4:20. who, when they hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. It's all about how you hear. How you hear spiritually. Now, look at this verse on the screen, Mark 4:24. Jesus said, and this is the summation of this parable. On the parable of the sower, Jesus said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. God, Jesus is interested in our hearing. Some of us need to get a hearing aid on our heart. We need to turn it up. Yeah, the Holy Ghost hearing aid on our heart. Jesus is interested in our hearing. Because he said, Paul said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by all your efforts, by everything you tried to do to please God, or did you receive it just through hearing of faith? And they said, no, through hearing. Does God work miracles in your life because you're good enough, or because you did 12 steps, or because you've pleased him more than other people? No, he only does it through the hearing of faith. That's good news. You know why it's good news? Because that opens it up to everybody. Opens it up to everybody. God's miracle-working power is available to everyone. It's not only to the super spiritual and the guy who's got the Bible about 10 feet big with the thumb indexes and just beats people around with it. It's open to you and to me. It's not open just to the TV evangelist. It's open to you. But hearing to receive grace needs to be activated by faith. Why this mixing truck? Well, anybody ever mix concrete? I'm not talking about the pre-mixed stuff. You get the pre-mixed bag at Lowe's and it's got all the ingredients. You just add water. But if you don't have the pre-mix, you got to put in the sand and you got to put in the gravel and you've got to put in, you know, whatever the other stuff is. I'm not an expert, but you know what it is. You shovel it all in there and you got to mix it up, right? You know, at concrete plants, they don't have just, they don't mine concrete in the ground. It's like, we struck concrete. Man, where, you know, and concrete sprays up, and we put a well on it, then they just hook it up and fill the truck. They got to mix it. Components. And so, just hearing alone is not going to do anything unless you hear it in faith, because faith has to be mixed, or hearing has to be mixed with your faith. If it's not mere hearing alone, that does it. It's hearing mixed with faith. Verse 2 says, and I read this from the English Standard Version of Galatians 3. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? I like that. Verse 5. Does he who supplied the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel of grace was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith. Not being mixed with faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without what? Faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. James 1:22 and 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed with what he does. Well, wait a minute, Kirk. You just started tangling it up again. You know, you're tangling up works again with faith. Well, that's the age-old misunderstanding of works and faith. Anybody ever heard this song?
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening. One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks have cut off the north just to spite their face. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it, gotta really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, from every word that He breathes. He lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening. What is your right? What is your left? It's your light, your guide, your life, and your breath. Faith without works, it's like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
I've never heard that song before. So this is the biggest misunderstanding of faith and works. What is this? How do these things relate to each other? And people leave the pathway of grace through faith because they don't understand the relationship between faith and works. So the first point I want to make this morning is that faith is a gift. It's not a work. Now, this is hard for us to grasp because we see ourselves. I can say, I remember when I committed my life to Christ. I remember when I prayed that prayer. I remember when I walked up that aisle. I remember when I cried out to God. And to me, that was me doing something. I remember that. But that was a gift. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father, what? Draw him. You don't even have the ability to have faith in God apart from His grace. It's a gift to you. It's not something you do. You respond to it by His grace. He's pulling you the whole way. It's grace from start to finish. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:8, you know that scripture. We've been saved by grace through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God. Now here's a scripture, Romans 4:16, from the Good News Bible. And so the promise was based on faith in order that the promise should be guaranteed as God's free gift to all of Abraham's descendants, not just to those who obey the law, but also to those who believe as Abraham did, for Abraham is the spiritual father of us all. He wanted it to be a free gift. If it was based on any level of performance that we produced, it would not be free, and it would not be open to all. Because some of you are going to be able to do it better than I can. I was always picked last for sports. I was the kid that wasn't very good at sports. I was always picked last for sports. I was the kid that wasn't very good at sports. It was terrible when they got down to the end of the line and there were two kids, Zender or Smith, just use the other guy. They'd go, "We'll take Smith." And the other guy would go, "We'll take Zender." You know, because I wasn't that good. And I couldn't do it as good as someone else. And if it wasn't in the kingdom, if it wasn't free, if it wasn't based on faith alone, if faith wasn't a gift, then somebody else would beat me to the line. But it's everybody equally because faith is a free gift. Secondly, faith is God-centered, not man-centered. Most of the teaching we receive today about faith has everything to do about what we do and nothing to do about what God does. Well, if you have faith, you're going to do this, 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 and this. And let me show you how great a faith I have because I did this, 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 and this. People will say, isn't that a great man or woman of faith? And what are they doing? They're looking at what they did, and they're elevating them and praising their faith. They should be praising God's grace and saying, isn't that a great man or woman of grace? Because they got grace all over them to be able to do that. So faith is God's. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for this reason, Paul says, I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom Paul says, I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. He said, I'm going through it, guys. I'm being persecuted. I'm being beaten. But nothing's moving me because I know him. I know him. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. My faith is in God, Paul said. It's not in me. It's not in man. 1 Peter 1:20-21. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in what? God. A lot of people today have faith in faith. They have faith in their own faith. If I just do these things, then I'm going to get it. That's faith in faith, not faith in God. Jim said, and I just wanted to rejoice in what God did in Jim's life, but and you just heard him. I mean, I didn't pray a great prayer. And I'm not taking any credit for what God did in Jim's life. I just said a simple prayer, and he was exactly right. It was just a simple prayer. You see, it's not how wonderful our prayer sounds or how filled with Scripture it is. Isn't it amazing sometimes we try to remind God of everything he wrote? As if he needs help to remember. You know, we do that for ourselves. That's okay. Please don't. I'm not beating up that. Do you understand? We do it for ourselves. But do you think God needs to be reminded? Well, God, we just thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Remember, it's by your stripes. Don't forget that. I need to remember that. But God knows. Yeah, he says, I know, I was there. You know, did everyone see the end of the Pee-wee Herman movie? Pee-wee's Big Adventure? When Pee-wee was on his cycle and his girlfriend there, and they said, aren't you staying for the movie, Pee-wee? He said, I don't have to. I lived it. Anyway, you remember that. Works, here's what works are. Works are not what make faith. Works are not what activate faith. Works are the fruit of faith, not the source of faith. They're the fruit, not the source. When you have grace in your life and you are drawn in and you receive the gift of faith and you embrace it and you begin to act on it, you're only being a fruit. You're being fruity. And I've said this to you many times, but you don't go by an apple tree and see an apple tree going like this. Bing! An apple tree doesn't make apples. It doesn't. It's not shaking and working and struggling to push an apple out. An apple tree just sits there, digs its roots into the ground, drinks up the moisture and the nutrients, and all of a sudden, naturally, bing, 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 all over, there's apples. Because it's the fruit of faith. Works are the fruit of faith. A couple scriptures. Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham didn't do anything. He just trusted God. He embraced what God said. He received that gift of faith. He embraced it. He acted on it. It was grace from start to finish, and God gave him righteousness. James 2:21-23, from the God's Word translation. Didn't our ancestor Abraham receive God's approval as a result of what he did when he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar? You see that Abraham's faith and what he did worked together. His faith was shown to be genuine by what he did. The scripture passage comes true. It says Abraham believed God, and that faith was regarded by God to be his approval of Abraham. So Abraham was called God's friend. It is the genuineness of real faith that is shown in fruit. But it is not the other way around. Faith is not, works aren't the source of fruit. They're the source of fruit of faith. Not the source of faith, the fruit of faith. So if you have genuine faith, if you have genuine grace in your life, there are going to be miracles and power and manifestations and all these things that God wants to do in your life if you're just trusting in Him. Now, how many of you think that you can hear? Can we do that? And what do we need to hear? And when you just start hearing the Word of God, if you just open yourselves up to it, God will bring faith into your life, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when He brings faith into your life by grace, then out of your life will begin to manifest the fruits of His presence and of His power. But you know what most of us don't hear? We hear everything else. You know, I was driving with my... I wasn't supposed to do this. I was driving yesterday with my iPod in my ears while I was driving my car. I've been told I'm not supposed to do that. And it was early in the morning. I was on the way to Keller to do the seminar all day yesterday. And I was just worshiping the Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, my iPod. And there was no one on the road, so I felt pretty safe. And I went to the Waffle House. And the Waffle House in Tarrant County has no smoking, which is cool. And so I had a smokeless Waffle House breakfast. Because if you eat here in Weatherford, there's a lot of smoke involved. And so you get smoky links. But there I didn't. So I had my breakfast. And then I went out to the car, and I couldn't start my car because the battery had died, because I had left my lights on. Well, it started. I did get started then. I'd left my lights on because I had my iPod in my ears, and I wasn't listening to the ding, 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 ding. Right? So then I thought, well, that was stupid. I won't do that again. So I got out of the Waffle House, put my earbuds back in, and started cruising to the church. And then, oh, I waved at somebody. I got out of the car, and in the car was going ding, 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 ding. But no, Kirk was hearing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Got my satchel, got my books, walked in and everything, did the seminar and everything, walked out to my car, tried to open it up. It wouldn't open up. Going, bang the thing. Banging the thing, finally opened up with the key, went to turn on the key, nothing. I looked, my lights were on. You see, God's trying to speak to us all the time. God's voice is that little ding, 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 ding. It's not the, hey, Kirk! It's the ding, 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 ding. And if I'm distracted in my life and I'm not listening through His Word, if I'm not opening up my heart, I'm going to run out of gas and I'm not going to experience the power of grace, because all it is, it's about hearing through faith. Now, do you think you can do that? Isn't that easy? You see, I just want to get it down to where we can be free and do that. It's easy. You don't have to buy my book. You don't have to do anything. Finally, and I close with this, grace is activated by the Spirit. Paul makes it clear we can either choose to live by the law, our human effort, or by the Spirit of God. To live by the law requires absolute perfection. If you want to try to get your miracle, get your healing, get your blessing, get your anything from God based on your performance, good luck. Good luck. But if you just want to say, God, I'll take the hearing by faith thing, I can do that. And He says, man, if you do that, I'll begin to pour into your life, and fruit will just start to pop out. Hallelujah. To live by the Spirit is to live through the cross of Christ, through His redemption, in the blessing of Abraham. Now, let's just talk in the last point about the blessing of Abraham. I want to tell you what it isn't. You know, there are whole books written on this, and you could make a whole teaching on this, but first of all, I'm just going to tell you what it isn't. It is not getting everything Abraham got from God. You say, well, golly, I heard someone say, I'm going to just claim that. I'm going to get all this, and they read the list, they write books about it. But let me tell you, God spoke specific promises to Abraham that were specific for Abraham. How many of you are going to have a son or daughter that's going to turn out to be the lineage of the Messiah? Did you ever think of that? That was one of the promises to Abraham. Out of your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Not seeds. Out of your seed, and that seed was Jesus within the lineage of Abraham and the lineage of Israel. How many of you are going to become a father of many nations? Do you hear what I'm saying? There are blessings that come, and we read about them in the Bible, and we participate in them, but not everything that Abraham got. Not everyone's going to be a millionaire. Abraham was a millionaire. Not everyone is going to be a millionaire who's a Christian. Other people will teach you that is what you're going to become. They probably also have a multi-level marketing business on the side that will tell you the same thing in the natural. But how many of you know if you sign up for an MLM, not everybody makes the top rung? Because what is a pyramid? It has a point to it. You ever notice that everybody usually is at the top layer of the pyramid? The person who starts it is the only person on the point? Am I making any sense here? What it is that it's salvation by grace through faith in the gift of His Spirit, and all the promises of God that are part of the kingdom and all the blessings of God that He works through Jesus Christ now come to us through the Spirit by grace through faith. Everything, the precious promises of God, come to us, but we don't go to the Old Testament and start to just take all the stuff that Abraham had and say, that's exactly what I'm going to have. Because you're an individual. God's going to make some of you millionaires, and some of you, you're going to be middle class, but you're going to be blessed. I mean, it's not about what we acquire, it's about what we become. Did you hear what I said? It's not what we acquire, it's what we become. To become more like Christ. The blessing of Abraham comes upon us. It really is. Look at verse 14. Let me read it to you. It's right from the text. That the blessing of Abraham, here's what it is, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the blessing of Abraham. That you and I now can be in the family of God, justified, declared clean, righteous, forgiven and pardoned from God, and receive the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, and open up all the possibilities of peace, and all the possibilities of hope, and all the possibilities of freedom through the completed work of Christ on the cross. That's what's ours by grace through faith. It's not through our actions, it's through His gift. And finally, last point, a grace-filled life, it's through His gift. And finally, last point, a grace-filled life is synonymous with a Spirit-filled life. It is. If you want to talk about being Spirit-filled, you're talking about being grace-filled. Because His grace is poured out upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So here's the point I'm trying to make this morning. It's more attractive to tell you what maybe some other people tell you, that if you just do A, B, you'll always get C, or if you just do A, B, C, you'll always get D. But that's not the case. What is the case, come on, guy, you come on. What is the case is that if you always seek the Lord, you'll always receive grace. And His grace will always be sufficient for you. Did you hear that? His grace will always be sufficient for you where you're at. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years. That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. Do you not think that when they told me I was going to die in 5 years? That's what my doctor told me. When my cardiologist said I had 5 years, and she was right to the moment. But it didn't happen that way. It happened one morning in the middle of the night. I got up to go to the restroom a couple times, walking sideways, thought I was just sleepy, kind of tired. Went into the shower to get ready to take Hannah to school, about passed over in the shower and almost lost my balance. Got dressed anyway. That's what men do, right? But just keep pushing. Got dressed, took Hannah to school, was walking back from her classroom on a pathway, just went over, and just got back up, and I couldn't even stand straight, and I just called Karen, and I said, something's wrong. And I was going to be heading to Mexico. God's faithful. Went into the hospital, 9 days of surgery and recovery, back again for another 5 days, about 14 days in the hospital, and I've got a metal valve in my heart. Now, I wanted the... Do you not think I wanted the flesh one? I wanted it to be the one where I could say, wow. But you know what? I would not be here talking to you this morning, but by the grace of God. I don't know why he didn't give me the miracle one, but I am a miracle because apart from what he did for me, I'd be dead, just like Jim. I'm here because of God's touch. And you know what? I'm not going to make people feel guilty if I pray or they pray and it doesn't happen the way someone says it should happen. We're just going to walk in grace through faith. And I rejoice whether he heals me through a metal valve in my heart or whether he heals me by taking me into his presence. He heals me. And you can be free. Lord, thank you that we don't have to jump through fiery hoops to please you in order to receive your miracle-working power in our lives. Thank you that we don't have to crank the bumper jack up to such a height to where you say, okay, finally you've shown me you're worthy. Because it's not based on us, it's based on you. It's based on what you did on the cross, Jesus. It's based on the completed work. By your stripes we're healed, not by any stripes we try to add to that. It's through your sacrificial death, it's through your sacrifice, through you being our substitute, that we can come now boldly to the throne of grace. We can open our spiritual ears. We can hear the word. You give us faith to embrace the word, and we can receive the miracle because you are imparting fruit and miracles and blessing to your children, if we will just hear. So Lord, open our eyes and open our ears. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us a hunger. Help us take the earbuds out of our spiritual ears that's crowding us with the noise of this world and the noise of this life, and help us hear that still, small voice of your Spirit and then embrace it by faith.